Hey everyone, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Dale Hawerchuk, an NHL Hall of Famer, passed away today due to his battle with cancer. He was only 57 years old, and we here at Starcastic Remarks want to recognize his achievements on the ice, but also off of the ice. He was a great person and was well-loved by fans and his teammates, but more importantly, his family. Our prayers right now are with the Hawerchuk family. Welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. This is Ryan. We have Chris, and we're adding brother number four tonight. Please welcome James. James, say hi.
Hi.
Howdy.
And that was Chris. No one wants to hear you, though. Just James, because he's new.
I think I'm everyone's favorite, but that's
fine. I don't know about that. I can tell you who's everybody's favorite right now, though. The Stars.
Oh.
Zach.
I was thinking Zach too. Zach's my favorite.
Nope, the Stars win again today by a final score of 2-1. And honestly, Chris, this seemed like an actual Stars hockey game. This was not one of those 5-4 shootouts that felt like we were back in the Lindy Ruff era.
Yeah, this is a boring hockey game that had lots of defense by the Stars, and the Stars couldn't score very much, so it was pretty much a good regular season game, unfortunately. I feel sad that we had to watch that for so long, especially being blessed with these recent games, but I'll take a win, and hopefully we can get one more and close it out tomorrow. It's not tomorrow, 2 days, but it's really looking like we've got Calgary on their heels. They don't really have an answer to what we're throwing at them, so I am excited.
Who's sticking out to you the most right now, James? Is there a certain player that you can think of that's sticking out to you the most?
I think Janmark really has showed up in the last couple of games. He hasn't scored goals, but he's always getting in the offensive zone, making space, making passes.
Yeah, him, him with Gerionov and Pavelski has looked very, very good. Now, Janmark, I think he had an assist today, didn't he?
Yes, to Klingberg.
Didn't he? Yeah, on the Klingberg goal, on the game-winning goal. So, yeah, cool stuff from Janmark. And I've been pointing him out for the past couple days, and I just wish he would score, dang. And like we said the other day, if he would actually score, he could be a top six forward.
Yeah, maybe if he scores, that then he can get taken by Seattle in the expansion draft instead of Fox.
Oh,
though I'll take that.
Wouldn't that suck? You know, I can just imagine Janmark pulling a William Karlsson or a Jonathan Marchessault. You know,
leaving the team and then become a top tier forward.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like nobody knew William Karlsson before Vegas took him, and then Vegas obviously saw something in him. And then he's like, oh, no big deal. I'm just going to go and score 40 goals in the inaugural season for the freaking Golden Knights and then go to the Stanley Cup final. Can you tell I'm a little salty about that?
Yeah.
Just a little bit. But with the Stars' victory today, they are one game away from going back to the second round.
That's a true statement.
Yep. They're the first team to win back-to-back. We've been trading off games the entire time, so.
That's true. We're full of true statements here on Starcastic Remarks. Goodness.
Living up to the name, dude.
I know. Starcastic.
I think we're tired.
Yeah, I think we all are a little bit
all
tired
right.
today.
What's the next topic, Ryan? Perfect segue.
Why do I always have to do the perfect
segue?
Because
you write them down.
You're the host.
Just because I write them down doesn't mean I have to be the one that does it. You always throw in some random tangents in there, don't you, Chris?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I know
random
exactly
tangents.
What he's talking about.
Yep. Okay, so anyways, a player that stood out to me today on top of Matthias Janmark was Mr. Jamie Oleksiak. He continues to impress me with the amount of minutes that he's playing And then also, he just seems to be stepping up his game to another level that we haven't seen. It's almost like he is this year's Roope Hintz. Last year, Roope Hintz really emerged in the playoffs when he was playing on a line with Gerionov and Zuccarello. Bless his heart, I wish he was still with us. But he's consistently making the right plays. He's stepping up on the rush even more so than I ever thought he could, and I would be terrified to see a 6'7" man coming straight at me with the kind of speed that he's playing with right now.
Yep, he's playing like the player we thought we drafted at first, so I'm glad that Pittsburgh could turn him into that forward for us and then give him back. Happy for that.
For the exact same pick that we traded him for.
Exactly.
Sometimes
it helps to, you know, take advantage of the situation. Pittsburgh had 8 defensemen, and we were like, hey, we'll give you your pick back if you give us Oleksiak back. And they said, sure, why not? So, anyways, huge momentum swings in this game. Huge momentum swings. In the first period, the Stars came out and acted like that there was no difference between Game 4 and Game 5.
They looked pretty good in the beginning of the game. I was surprised we didn't put up 2 or more goals, and I was definitely frustrated that we leave that period up by twice as many shots and the score is tied. That's a very frustrating thing. It feels like our best periods we never take the lead on, and I think we're gonna have to figure that out if we continue on in the playoffs. We got to figure out how to take advantage of when we're playing well instead of just finding a way to win.
Yeah, we had a bunch of posts tonight as well. More repeats, just with actually scoring a couple of them.
The Stars hit a bunch of posts.
No way.
What a hot take from James.
I knew we brought James in for a reason. I never saw that.
My gosh.
There's some sarcasm for you. How about that?
Dang. I feel attacked.
It was a roast.
All right, just some quick stats. What was actually really surprising is we lost the faceoff battle today.
It was mainly because Sagan was having such a rough time. I don't know what was up with him trying to win draws. Hopefully, whatever. So we know he's playing through something right now. Like he was hurt during a lot of the round robin games. So hopefully, whatever's bothering him is not hindering his faceoff abilities, because that would definitely suck.
Well, here's what I'm looking at, and I'm kind of confused because I agreed with you, Chris. But according to the NHL app, I'm looking at the stats right now. He had a 58.3% face-off percentage today, which doesn't make sense to me, because there was like 3 in like the last minute and a half that he lost.
Yeah, maybe that was just all happening in the third period.
Maybe. And then finally Bonus was like, okay, Tyler, sorry.
Well, I bet Sagan said that. I bet Sagan was like, okay, I can't win. Someone else go.
Yeah, let's throw Foxa in there, and he took it. Dickinson at 20%, but that seemed really low.
Dickinson sucks, so.
But Dickinson doesn't take very many faceoffs anyways. But Pavelski and Foxa both were at 42.9%.
Pretty low for Foxa, actually.
Really low. Really low. And then another thing that continues to make Stars fans upset and mad is, guess who had the lowest amount of time on ice today?
Gerionov.
Literally 12 minutes, 10 seconds. And let me rephrase that. He's the lowest among all the forwards. Taylor Fridun only played 6.5 minutes basically today. So
still keeping him off the ice.
Yeah. And you know, that kind of is a good segue into what we were kind of talking about before we started recording, was about the top 4 defensemen for the Stars. So Oleksiak, Klingberg, Miro Heiskanen, and Esa Lindell. Now, we don't really see much from Esa Lindell. He's kind of the behind-the-scenes guy. And
he's a perfect defenseman. You don't even know he's there.
And side note, I really wish they would have a trophy for the most defensive defenseman. And I don't know how you would award that, because Chris, you heard my argument about plus-minus from the last podcast. But because honestly, like the best defenseman award, oh my goodness, I can't believe I forgot it. The Norris always seems to go to an offensive defenseman, and that's almost, it's sometimes it's frustrating.
there's no good defensive hockey stats. There's not like knockaways.
That's really true.
Like stick checks, I don't know. It'd be too hard to keep track of.
Well, anyways, what I was getting into with the top four defensemen is it seems Bonus is relying heavily on that top four. And we're doing fine with all of our forward lines and allowing all four forward lines to kind of rotate through, which is how you want to play in the playoffs. But with the defensive pairings, there's got to be a point to where you start telling, as much as I would hate to say it, Sekera and Fadoon, not so much. I would want to see Fadoon play more. But we got to start giving them more minutes and letting them play a little bit more.
Well, it seems to me like, I agree it seems worrisome, but it hasn't impacted anything yet. So, I mean, I guess as long as those guys can play all those minutes, it's fine. But I agree, we are relying very heavily on Klinger and Haskinen, like we talked about last time. And it didn't change this game. It's still a one-goal game. I'm feeling like we just need to find a shutout game, give them a good break. I think that's the real test of if Bonus is thinking about it in a smart way or not, is if when we take the lead by three goals, we kind of keep Klinger and Haskinen off the ice as much as possible. But until then, that's the way we're going to win a playoff game, obviously. They're two highest point getters. They're possessing the puck all the time. They're overall the best skaters on the ice the majority of the time. So they need to stay out there is the problem.
Well, and that's how we get all of our offenses. Even if they don't score the goal or they don't get the assist or whatever, it comes from the points. That's just
They're our best overall players right now. So we need them on the ice. We need them to score. So as long as they're still going and they can still move their legs well enough, I don't see a problem in it.
And if Oleksiak is starting to take that next step like I think he is, boy, we're going to have a great defensive core over
and
there.
And we already do. We're at least top five blue line. If Oleksiak turns into another puck possession big defenseman, we're gonna definitely have the best blue line in the NHL. And I would make the argument that we do. But
well, and then so after the first period, James, you were saying that in the second the Flames started to make a little bit of a push.
Yeah, they got that goal at the end of the first, and they came out with a fire lit under them, and they were gunning for it. And I think that's really where the fatigue of our top defensemen started showing, because it felt like for me every shot the Flames took, it was like, oh, that's going in, and just somehow we just managed to hold on in that second period.
And you know, I don't know if y'all noticed the pace of the game, but like the first period, it seemed like it was, you know, fast, it was good, and then it kind of trailed off, like especially the last minute and a half, 2 minutes, and I think that's partially why that goal went in from Backlund, the Calgary goal. Honestly, the second period kind of started off a little fast too, but that third period, which I guess kind of played into the Stars' favor since we were up 2-1 at that point.
That was definitely intentional
really
by the Stars.
Yeah,
yeah, that was really we're going to lock this thing down and we're going to win the game. And that's what they were trying to do. Fortunately, they didn't stop forechecking. They were still forechecking, but they were definitely playing much more defensive. And that's how you close out a game as opposed to the other times where we've seen them blow leads, especially against the Knights in that round robin. So hopefully they're figuring out how to win in this series and they can take that in against against a better opponent next round. I know I'm counting my chickens before they hatch, but it looks like Calgary, especially in the third period, it just looked like Calgary had nothing. Like they were just like, even when they got in our zone, they kind of just passed around, got their shot blocked, and it was going the other way again. So it seems like we got them locked down. Now we'll see what happens whenever the scoreboard says elimination game, but I'm feeling confident right now, especially after the last two games.
Yeah. Two things come into my mind. When first is Bonus, what Bonus said, and it rings true, is that the hardest game to win is the elimination game. And I'm expecting the Flames best in game six. And if they don't, then that's going to be a real testament to the Flames team. And it makes me a little bit lackluster with the Stars' chances in the next round. And right now, I'm kind of assuming we play Colorado. I'm counting my chickens before they hatch. But just based off of the other teams, you know,
I think especially now, the veteran presence in the locker room, especially, so just overall personalities with Jamie, Rad, Sagan, Pavelski, Perry, all of them, I think they're going to turn this game six and seven into pretty much two game sevens for us. So we, as long as we have the same mentality that Calgary does, that we need to win this game or we're going home, then I think we're going to be fine. We're at least going to win one of them. But I think we're going to be fine, especially with the experience in the room, is my point.
I would really love to see them lock it down in game six. I really hope so. And then the second thing that I wanted to, that while you were talking, Chris, that I thought about was the statistic that they mentioned several times about game fives when the series is tied. When the series is tied 2-2, the team that wins game five wins the series 78% of the time. And I feel like that is a huge, huge statistic in why I felt this game was extremely important to win.
Yep. It's definitely hard to beat a team twice, which is, I think that's the main reason the stat slants that way. Just because when two teams are neck and neck, it's tough to turn two around that quickly. So I definitely think game five was a good win for us, and a good Stars win, and a good lockdown, and moving into the elimination games.
And you know, you, me, James, and Zach were all kind of texting about the game, and y'all said that y'all were stressed out, but you know, honestly, I don't know why, but I was not stressed out that last 5 minutes. I wasn't.
I was eating some chicken, slurping some noodles. I was drinking Dr. Pepper. Man, I was having a grand old time. Like I was watching a baseball game. It was great.
Yeah, just the second period for me, super stressful just because of how the Flames were playing.
Right, yeah, that's a good point, because the first 10 minutes of that second period, with the Flames were definitely starting to ramp it up.
Yeah, but especially after our goal in the third, I was like, I'm good.
Okay, yeah, we're good. We got this. It was definitely a Stars game at that point. And, you know, it was very like, okay, this is very chill.
Yeah, and even though the Flames definitely had more possession and they were in our zone the whole time, it felt like we had the game. It felt like we had a lockdown.
All right, last thing about the Stars game before we move on to our other two topics that we're going to mention real quick. The one thing I said about in the last podcast about what we are expecting from game five, the special teams battle, we didn't necessarily win the special teams battle, even
but
though we
didn't
did.
Lose.
We didn't lose it. Yes.
Which is the important part. If we cannot lose the special teams battle, we will win the game most likely.
So this has been the fourth game in this series where there has been a shorthanded goal.
This one doesn't even count.
Technically,
though.
Yeah, this doesn't count.
This one was a 4-on-4 goal.
It still counts as a shorthanded goal
okay.
on the score sheet.
Officially, okay, I used the wrong word. Technically, it's a shorthanded goal, but actually, no, it wasn't. Anyone who was watching the game would say, "Okay, no, that's 4-on-4." But yes, that's a nut stat. Like, I don't think there was a time when a playoff series had four straight shorthanded goals. I'm sure that hasn't happened.
I was really confused when Ben scored that goal. I put on Twitter, I put,
oh, me
goal?
Too. I had no
question
idea.
Mark, question mark, question mark. I was like, did that go in?
Yeah, I saw Sagan do the saucer pass. I was like, oh, it's got a chance. And then I just saw the net blow up, and Ben was like flat on his back. And I saw
I was
him
like,
stand
I guess it
up
didn't
and
go
scream.
In.
And I was like, has Ben like lost his mind? Or...
Yep.
And then I saw a goal and I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, cool. I kind of feel the same way about the Klingberg goal too. So
yeah, it's like, oh, that?
Yeah. That went in too. Okay, cool. Nothing like the past two games that we won in game two and game four when, you know, we win it in spectacular fashion and I might scream too loud and scare Maddie, but you know.
Afternoon games brings down the adrenaline.
I guess that's true.
Less free adrenaline in the afternoon.
That's true. Yeah, that is very, very true. Okay, we just got to win the special teams battle in game six. I'll leave it at that. Okay, so the two things that are non-Stars related that I want to talk about, it's kind of died off a little bit, and I kind of did that on purpose, and that's why I didn't bring it up in the last couple podcasts, but I want to get y'all's reaction to this because this is really interesting to me. Jack Edwards, he's the play-by-play voice of the Boston Bruins on NESN. He put out a tweet about 3 days ago about the oh my goodness, see James, I told you I'm not going to be able to pronounce this correctly. Svechnikov injury. Oh my goodness, he's going to probably be out until the conference finals. That's what it seems like, assuming they make it to the conference finals, but they may not because Boston's playing well. Anyways, he put out this tweet about that Svechnikov injury, and if you haven't seen it, if you're one of those people that can't stand, you know, like awkward twists of legs and stuff like that, I wouldn't suggest you go see it.
Oh yeah, I didn't look at it.
Yeah, I did, unfortunately, and then they kept replaying it like 3 or 4 times on NBCSN, and I was just like, okay, we get the point. Anyways, Jack Edwards, this is the tweet that he had, and this is word for word what he put. Quote, what NBC hasn't shown yet regarding the unfortunate injury to Svechnikov, the Carolina wing playing hobby horse, riding Chara on the back apron of the goal. You poke the bear, you take your chances. No one wanted to see Svechnikov hurt, but he bit off more than he could chew. What kind of crap is that? Honestly, what it feels like he's saying is that, now I will say that he did mention that no one wanted to see Svechnikov hurt, but it almost seems like he said that the reason why he's hurt is that it's his fault.
Yeah, that is what he's saying. And I bet if you asked him, he would say that that's what he was saying.
But that's a bunch of crap. Why would you say that about one of the Carolina Hurricanes' best players? I mean, honestly, he should have just said, you know, Svechnikov, that was a crazy, you know, unlucky injury. I hope that he's okay, and just leave it at that. And then nobody would have. I mean, he was getting roasted on Twitter from everybody. I mean, the hockey guy on YouTube was one of the videos that I watched, and I don't think he made a video about it, but I think he retweeted it, and he's just like, this is the same guy that said Roman Polak deserved what he deserved when the Stars played the Boston Bruins a couple years ago, and Roman Polak was out for an extended period
of time.
No, that
was this year.
Oh, was that this year?
That was this year.
Oh, okay. See, COVID happened. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
But Chris, what's your reaction to this? That's a bunch of crap. He bit off more than he could chew.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of said that about Tkachuk when he tried to go hit Ben and then got himself a concussion. But I definitely think the difference there is that nobody's listening to this podcast and Jack Edwards has a lot more Twitter followers.
So he got screwed with the amount of people that are...
But yeah, that's kind of a dumb thing to say. Kind of a punk move there. But I don't know. I don't think he's trying to poke the bear or take chances. I think he's trying to
play a hockey
game. Yeah,
play hockey.
So I think that's a bad take. But I don't think like anything should happen over it. I mean, everyone knows Jack Edwards is a punk and he just wants attention. So I think that's what this is all about.
Well, honestly, he's had several of those comments over the past couple years.
Yeah, I think they're intentional, in my opinion. He just wants to be in the hockey media as a local play-by-play announcer.
So wait,
hold
on.
He's jealous that he's not actually good at announcing.
So are you saying he's the Donald Trump of the
hockey
media? Oh, yeah.
He is the Donald Trump of the hockey media. Except
he just
he's not president.
All this attention.
So. Exactly. Well, no, he's more like AOC. Like, there's this weird person just in the corner just screaming really loudly. And what they're screaming about just makes no sense. But everyone listens to them for some reason, and then we talk about it.
Right.
So. Yeah, I don't think I have that much of an opinion on it. I mean, it's just playing hockey, and he got hurt.
Woof.
Yep. Woof. See, James is so concise, and then, you know... Sorry, Chris. I'm just sitting here rambling.
Yeah, so. I'm carrying the comedy, so.
Yeah. All right, last thing. Tuukka Rask. So, I can't find the statement, and I'm not going to bother trying to find the exact statement because I can't find it. Because it, you know, Boston Bruins Twitter feed is, they've posted so many times since they put out that official whatever it was from Tuukka Rask. But, you know, honestly, for Tuukka Rask, he left the bubble because he misses his family. And, you know, honestly, he's got 2 young girls at home. He's got a newborn. He has a wife. And then all of these people on, I mean, especially Boston Bruins fans were just, I'll admit, not all of them were kind of roasting him on Twitter, but a lot of them were just treating him like he's dirt, like he's a Sean Avery or something like that. And I couldn't believe seeing that from the Boston Bruins fans. I mean, this is a guy who has been their franchise goalie for a very long time. His stats are great. And then, you know, some people were kind of saying, well, he shouldn't have come anyways. Well, but he's trying. He's trying to help his team win. And, yeah. And you know,
I wouldn't be surprised if to see a retirement statement after this whole playoff thing is over. I'm pretty much expecting that. So,
well, and
look for that.
And
I got the tweet that they put out. So the statement that he had was, "I want to be with my teammates competing, but at this moment, there are things more important than hockey in my life, and that is being with my family. I want to thank the Bruins and my teammates for their support and wish them success."
Yeah, so he just wants to be with his family. Which, I'll say, like, well, yes, he should be with his family. I'm not going to say he's not turning his back on his teammates, because, like, well, he definitely is. But, like, that's his prerogative to do that. Like, this is not what he signed up for. He signed up to play hockey and to go home afterwards. So, I think he has every right to do it, and I don't think people should be jerks to him, but he kind of did turn his back on his team.
from what I've heard from other people as well, is that the situation was more complex than him just missing his family. Apparently, there's some underlining other issues that weren't given out that he wanted to go back and be with.
What'd you hear?
I just heard that the
extenuating circumstances
was more complex than it was supposed to.
Yeah.
Oh. There's no exact rumors. Big sad. No. Nope.
But, you know, I can't blame the guy. I mean,
yeah, I can't blame him either, but, like, he did turn his back on his teammates, right?
Yeah, so, but, you know, everybody looks at a negative light, honestly.
It's kind of negative.
It's kind of, I mean, negative, not good. But it's not good, but he's realizing that there are more important things in life than hockey. And you know that goes against everything that this podcast believes in. No, I'm just kidding. But I can't fault him in it. And he's just not in it. And you could tell by the interviews that he did that he just wasn't in it. And then the day before he left the bubble, he had those comments about how these playoffs don't feel like real playoffs to him. They just felt like exhibition games. And you know what? If he's feeling like that and you're a Boston Bruins fan, you probably wouldn't want him to play anyways. Yeah, exactly, Chris. That's exactly it. So, and, you know, the Bruins' prerogative, they're playing fine without him. Halak has stepped up and filled in that role for the Boston Bruins, just like Khudobin has done for us with Bishop being hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just saying
I understand why their fans are mad. Like, they invest a lot of time in the team too, and to have your pretty much their star player, that's their defense. That's Boston's defense, is Tuukka Rask. To have him just up and leave lowers your chances of winning a cup. Sucks for those guys. I don't think they should be a jerk to Tuukka, but it's definitely not like we shouldn't. I don't think we should be, like, happy for Tuukka. I think we shouldn't care, is my opinion.
It shouldn't have blown up as much as it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Anyways, all my best to Tuukka Rask. I hope he's okay. And, you know, some people were saying that it wasn't even him, that it was his wife that was having a hard time. So, you know, full props to him for making a hard decision like that, because he knew he was going to get a lot of backlash from the fans of the Boston Bruins. So anyway, game 6 on Thursday, we still don't know what time it's going to be, because some of these games that are going on right now are elimination games. So we'll see what time they start. Looks like Washington's going to be able to pull out the win after being down 2-0. Oh, no, they already finished. It is 3-2. So there will be a game 5 for the Washington and New York Islanders series. So that may push our time back a little bit.
Go OV. Nah, reverse.
It's too late for them. There's no reverse.
It's possible. It's possible.
Nah.
Anything's possible.
Nope.
Psychological warfare.
Well, that's for another day. We'll come back to that after the first round is over, and we'll make our second round predictions later. All right, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been Starcastic Remarks. I've got Chris and James joining me. Thank you all for doing this and agreeing to do this. We are the only Stars fan-led podcast. You can find us on Twitter at StarcasticR. Follow us on Facebook at Starcastic Remarks. And you can also follow us on YouTube as Stars win with the final score this evening, 2-1. Let's finish it up, boys. Woo! Go Stars.